Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey, Drew, man, I'm pretty excited about the opportunity that's coming up for the pastors and ministry leaders listening to this right now.
I am too. You know, I think we've had a few Idea Days this year.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have came to those.
Oh, yeah. The one down in Tampa.
Smashing success.
Incredible.
Yeah.
The one in Chicago.
Really cold, but still equally as great.
It was super cold.
It was super
and then
cold.
We even had the event down in San Antonio. So yeah. Three Idea Days, really. Yeah.
But some people say, hey, you know, even those, Tampa and Chicago, I just couldn't afford to make it out. I would really love to be part of some kind of event that's Idea Network sponsored. But if only if it was in just my area.
Yeah, if there was something closer, and maybe it wasn't all day, maybe just kind of like half a day, maybe like just a night. I wonder if they had something like
an Idea Night.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, Idea Night 2022 is coming to a location near you. And maybe it's specifically your location. See, right now, over the next few weeks, we want to give you the opportunity to apply to host your very own Idea Night. No, that's exactly what we want. You to host your very own Idea Network event on August the 23rd, 2022.
That seems like quite the honor. Am I worthy of that?
You're not worthy, but the listeners that are here are worthy. We already have a location here in Las Vegas. We're going to be doing it. In the last few Idea Nights, 50 locations across the United States where you can attend an Idea Night, and we've had many of those in our network, reach out and say, man, can I host one? And the answer is you absolutely can apply. We want an Idea Night in your city, in your town, in your community, in your county. Reach out at ideanetwork.church, Idea Night, and apply to host today.
Welcome to this edition of the Idea Talks. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about women in ministry. Just you and me and Josh, right? We're going to be talking about women in ministry.
We want all the women that are listening to this to hear us as we mansplain how important it is for
you. Probably going
to
be a great episode, right?
Hold on.
I'm sure we can offer a unique perspective
on
women in the ministry.
Somebody's at the door.
Wait.
Come in. Creak. Oh, like, hello.
Hi.
Wow, this is so unplanned.
Yeah, my name is Heather Tice, and I just stopped by. What's going on,
were
guys?
Your ears tingling?
We were just talking about women in ministry. Would you like to discuss this controversial and potentially fraught with danger topic?
This is a fortuitous moment, and I'm delighted to be here. Yes, I'll join you.
Put your notes down, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's time to talk about women in ministry. We are joined by Heather.
So how deep are we going with this, Josh? Are we getting into the nitty gritty?
We're going to be as surface level as possible to make everybody like us by the end of this episode.
That is a conversation for another day. You know, there will be a podcast one day where we discuss that.
100%. And we do want to be able to discuss this issue in more detail.
But today is not that day,
today,
as Aragorn says.
Aragorn says, today is not that day because we want to cover the three types of women in ministry. But before we do, I just got to tell you, I'm kind of getting excited because Idea Night is only a month away. A month away?
Oof. Into summer?
Yeah.
We're there.
So I know wherever you're at right now, it is deep in the summer. I mean, end of July.
This episode's launching on my birthday. I just realized this.
This episode is launched.
Happy birthday, Drew.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
I got to go get some cake.
By the way, we should have cake here. Do you know why? Because it's 150 episode.
Oh.
We saved the 150th for you.
Right.
That's
because
amazing.
You're the best.
And yet I don't see any cake.
I was going to make up something.
I don't even have a water. This is really pathetic.
Do you want a sparkling water?
He's got sparkling
water. I would love one.
Yeah, he's always got sparkling water.
I think
here.
I only have two flavors. So women in ministry is a pretty broad topic.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be focusing on really and honing in on three different types of women that are in ministry. And we just want to say we love you, we support you. And you're welcome here.
Yeah, and it's a shame that God can call and lead us to such distinct areas. And as we follow him, we can face criticism. We can be pushed out of groups because, you know, we're just following God, but it doesn't match how they think we should be following God.
Mm.
No, I think it's a great point. And here we find ourselves right smack in the middle of a, well, it's a broader cultural debate, as well as a broad debate within evangelical America as a whole. I mean, on one side, in the far extreme to the left, you've got extreme egalitarians, apparently, desiring that we bow to the pressure of contemporary culture and declare that there's no distinction between the sexes in relation to ministry. Yet, the student of the Word of God has to be wrestling with the inspired restrictions found in 1 Corinthians 11 or 1 Timothy chapter 2. But then you've got the extreme right. All the way over there, extreme complementarians.
I hate to even call the extreme right complementarians.
No, I
feel like we need a different word there.
It's not really extreme complementarians. It's extreme. What would you call them?
Extremists. I don't know. I mean, yeah, we need a coined word phrase for them.
Well, apparently, they desire to silence women in the auditorium, in the classroom, in the foyer, even in the marketplace. A return to a culture of subjection found in other religious cultures of the day. Yet, the true student of the Word of God, you have to still grapple with the inspired realities of 1 Corinthians 11:5, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Luke chapter 2, Acts chapter 21, verse 9, John chapter 4, Luke chapter 24, verses 9 and 10. I mean, the list goes on. And so here we find ourselves right in the middle asking ourselves, okay, if we're not extreme complementarians, we're not extreme egalitarians, what is the position that we should be looking at when it comes to women in ministry? 50%, if not more, of the Christian community being able to serve Jesus Christ in ministry. Let's talk about it.
I think we just did an episode where we talked about drinking a lot, right? The main crux of the message there was going back to what does the Bible say?
Yeah.
And you just referenced a lot of different scripture that are undeniably, there for us to look at.
So let's talk about it then.
Yeah, so there's three different areas, and we just mentioned that sometimes it's not just an area, but a season of life can affect these things. Seasons change.
That's a good point.
But there's three different areas that God can call a woman to that we want to just encourage you, if you fall in one of these areas, that we love you and we're thankful for you and for you following God in that calling. The first one, you might be a woman who is married to a guy in ministry. You're married to, it wasn't your calling. Maybe you're a businesswoman, a CEO. Maybe your heart has always been as a homemaker, or maybe it's a season where you have your hands full supporting a pastor because you are taking care of the home front. So that's the first group. The second group would be women who are called into ministry. They're not married to a pastor, but maybe you are leading an entire children's ministry or the program ministry of a church or the guest relations. But you have a heart and a calling that's always been your deepest heart's desire to be in full-time ministry, and God has clearly led you there. And sometimes, you know, that's not understood by other folks. And that's something we just appreciate, you standing in the gap and serving. And then there's a third group. There's us lucky gals who are called to ministry. We've always had that heart desire, and we are also married to a pastor.
Yeah, so let's talk about that first group. At the Idea Network, we want you to understand, if you just happen to be a woman who is married to a man who has been called by God into ministry, and you're like, how did this happen? Like, how am I suddenly a wife of a pastor or a wife of a staff member on a church? Like, what does that look like? Well, one of the things you'll notice that it looks like is high expectations from those who don't know any better than to put high expectations on not just your husband, but on you. I mean, you're going to hear things like, our previous pastor's wife led a Bible study. Why don't you? Our previous pastor's wife played the keyboard. Why don't you? And you're like, I don't know how to play the piano. Our previous pastor's wife wore pretty dresses, had long hair, didn't eat gluten, shouldn't. She could shoot skeet, coordinate casseroles, counsel drug addicts. And it's this unrelenting, constant expectation that you are not supposed to be who you are. You're supposed to be who that other woman was that we had before, or the way my pastor's wife was growing up. And I got to tell you, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, I think speaking and teaching was one of the biggest ones for the generation that was kind of ahead of us. I guess your mother's generation, our mother's generation. If you were a pastor's wife, you better get up and be ready to public speak. And that's terrible, because a lot of introverts end up being pastors' wives. A lot of pastors are extroverts. And so you see that combination. And there is that pressure to serve in a way that God didn't gift them or call them in. Not that sometimes we don't step out of our comfort zone and God's grace is sufficient, but to expect to be serving in that way all the time rather than a way that you're gifted. Do you guys want to know what the big one that I think coming up is for pastors' wives and kind of women in general, but I hear it a lot. And it's interesting because it's a flip in the script. It is in the area of hospitality. That you have to have people in your home.
This
is a big one. And it's not just have people in your home, but like you have to host. And not the idea of being hospitable and welcoming people in the church, having an open attitude of welcoming people into your life. But no, you have to start, you know, planning a night once a month, once a week. And this is becoming a new trend, I think, in my generation, which is not fun for me because that's not the easiest one for me.
Well, we have friends who we've noticed in ministry that are extremely gifted in this area. We think of, we can call them out. Paul and Bria Goddard, who are dear friends of ours, pastored in Vegas for years.
She is brilliant at this.
Now they pastor down south. I forget the...
And she's a good speaker, too.
Yeah, she's an amazing speaker. But one of the things she's really gifted in is she loves to host gatherings and dinners and that sort of thing. And so there's this expectation that, oh my word, look at what a great host Bria is. She had everybody into her home. That's what she's a pastor's wife. That's what she did as a pastor's wife. Here's my new pastor's wife. She must do what my last pastor's wife did.
And you know, to give people the benefit of the doubt, I think sometimes when we hear these things, we get so upset. But do you know what? I think people have seen what God uses in their life, and they just want everyone to enjoy the fruitfulness of serving in that way. You got to do this. This is amazing. And they don't realize that may be a specific area of gifting that God has given you.
And so the expectations that might be placed upon you, those expectations might be placed upon you by church members unwittingly. Those expectations might be placed upon you by other pastors and staff in your own congregation. They don't know what they're doing. They might also be placed upon you by yourself.
Or your husband.
Or your husband, right? And so all of these expectations, they weigh you down. You say, well, then what do I do with that? Well, first of all, we just want you to understand, number one, you are beloved by God. And number two, you are welcome at Idea Network because there are a ton of women just like you who, for whatever God's purpose is, just happen to call you to marry yourself to some preacher, some youth pastor, some missionary. And now you find yourself smack dab in the middle of ministry. And you never knew how you got here.
Yeah, that's quite a few women. It's been fun when we have the panels, and it's fun to see the audience and see women connecting who especially fall in this group. And it's so, I think, encouraging to see they're not alone, that there's other people like me who are facing some of the problems, and we can laugh about it and pray for one another and just keep following God and where He's called us.
Yeah, you might be coming out to the summit that's coming up here in January or February. And when you do, you'll come out to Dallas and you'll be thinking, oh man, I'm kind of nervous. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to be expected to be sitting at a table talking about assimilation along with Lysandra Osterkamp, who knows everything about ministry, and Heather Tice. And all I want to do is grab a coffee and go to the bookstore in the big church and like talk to some ladies. And the answer is, listen, cool. We want you to just come and have a good time. If you come, drop off your husband, grab a couple ladies and go to the mall and hang out for the day, we're just glad you came. Because you know what we have for your kids? We have for your kids a Pastor's Kids Summit. We have for your kids Teenage Pastor Kids Summit. All of the missionary kids, all the pastor kids are going to have a focus on them. And while you have a great time doing whatever you feel like you should be doing, we're going to have a great time ministering to the entire family. So the first type of ministry, a woman in ministry that we at the Idea Network really want to minister to, well, it's that first kind. It's women who just happen to be married to men called to the ministry.
And the second group is especially dear to my heart as well. They're women who are called into ministry. This would be like my friend Kylie, who works at the Idea Network. I have friends, Christina, who loves serving in ministry. It's one of her favorite things. It's something she's always desired. That's Drew's wife. And she serves along with me.
Favorite person.
So many. Yeah, she's, like mine too. She's amazing. And so gifted. It's unique to see how God has gifted her. So these women are very special, but they're not always viewed by the community. Sometimes they're not given a voice or opportunity. And by the way, sometimes pastors' wives, when we get insecure, sometimes we are the ones that kind of shut down these voices that God wants to use. Mm. And we got to go to God with that and say, Lord, you are my identity. You are my security. And I can thank God that you brought this other person who was really excited about leading a study that I may not want to lead, or hosting an event, or having a huge fellowship event that I don't want to host. That's a blessing, not a curse.
I noticed that many contemporary churches still fail to validate the call of women into ministry. I think here's the problem. The problem, and maybe you're sitting there, you're like, whoa, 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 this is really dangerous territory. You're talking about women called to ministry. Here's the problem that I believe. I believe too many conflate vocational ministry with preaching on Sunday morning. Like I think that might be an issue. And you're thinking to yourself, well, if they're called to ministry, they're called to preach the sermon on Sunday morning. Well, that's not true. And you don't ever necessarily even believe that's true. Not everyone called to vocational ministry is supposed to preach a sermon every Sunday. Is that true in your church? Some who are called into vocational ministry will never preach a sermon on Sunday. Everyone called into vocational ministry should preach the gospel to every creature every chance they get.
Did you just say that women should preach?
I think the word of God
proclaim truth.
I think the word of God makes it really clear that all men and all women who are followers of Christ should proclaim the gospel every chance they get. And everyone not called into vocational ministry should preach the gospel to every creature. It's not just people called. We should all be preaching the gospel. But the point is this. Somebody, a man or woman, Fred, who was on a previous episode just two episodes ago, is a great point on this. Fred is called of God to full-time vocational ministry, but never preaches a sermon on Sunday morning, may never preach a sermon on Sunday morning the rest of his life. Is he not called of God to vocational ministry? And the answer to that question is some of us may conflate calling to preach to the same as calling to ministry. And there are a lot of women out there right now who have been called of God to serve full-time in vocational ministry, whether that be in a parachurch organization, whether that be in a leadership role, whether that be women's ministry, executive shepherding role of some kind, children's ministry of some kind, whatever that might look like, administrative role. We have a place for you at the Idea Network. We believe that God has called you to ministry, and we want to help empower you in the calling that God has placed into your life.
So Josh, that is a great point. Now, how can we validate these women? How can pastors in particular kind of give these women a seat at the table?
I think validating the voice and the perspective of those who serve within your team, whether they be male or female, right? So I'll give you an example for the Idea Network. One of the things that I've really deeply respected as Jeremy Rantz has become the vice president of initiatives at Idea Network is I've noticed that he is equally interested to hear from what I have to say about the network. He's looking to me for vision because I'm the president. He's looking for me for direction, but he's equally interested to hear what Kylie has to say because she's the actual vice president of operations. He does not look to me to ask the question or for answers on how we're going to practically accomplish something. He looks to me and says, where are we going? And then he looks to Kylie and says, how are we going to get there? And here is a top-level executive, a wonderful pastor, a godly man. And every time I meet with him and Kylie, I'm amazed that I follow his leadership as he validates the calling and abilities of Kylie. She doesn't have, she's not just a voice in the room. She's a voice at the table and a very, very influential voice on the direction of what this network is.
Yeah, so I think considering in staff meetings, if you have a woman who is running the children's ministry, have her at the staff meeting. Have her sitting there at the table. I think also mentoring. Sometimes I know we have to be cautious with this one. I'm not talking about one-on-one mentorship, but mentoring, when you're training a group, a staff, yeah. Invite the ladies who are part of that team to be a part of that training. Let them grow. Let them hear your vision. Pastors, it's going to be hard for these women to follow your vision if they never hear it.
I remember at the members only event for Idea Network we had in San Antonio, the question was brought up about how can you love and care and support these people that, these women that are called to ministry. And one of the ladies' response was simply like, you just need to love and care for them. Mm. Like, it's as simple as that, right? Like, we try to maybe create a process or a program to make voices heard, and we need to do that more intentionally. But at the exact same time, in your own heart and life, like, make sure that it matches up with what you actually believe about them. I think it's really important.
So, in reality, the vast majority of you listening to this will agree in some sense that there are women who are called into ministry. For you Southern Baptists, Lottie Moon. For you Child Evangelism Fellowship folk, Amy Carmichael. For you Bible students, Priscilla Schreier. For some of you that just want to get ticked off, Beth Moore. For you musicians, Fanny Crosby. For you Catholics, there's two of you, Mother Teresa. And you know who you are, Gail Ripplinger. all of you will look and see some type of a woman that you look and admire and respect and realize God called them to that position. And if it wasn't for God's calling in their life, the church would not be what it could be to this day.
And I just have to say, because you picked on her, I love Beth Moore, and I know you love her too.
But I do.
She is one that is a great example. So if you're a woman in ministry and you're discouraged because you're not married to a pastor, look at some of these women like Beth Moore, who God has used to teach women to study the Bible.
Yes.
And that's really something incredible.
Lisa Turkhurst, right?
Lisa Turkhurst as well. There's so many. And that's an encouraging thing that we do see in this day and age.
Right. So what we're looking at are three different types of women in ministry. The first one, well, you just happen to marry somebody who happened to be in ministry. We love you. We're so glad that you're part of the network. Maybe you're a ministry leader who is a woman. You're not necessarily married to somebody. You say, what kind of conference can I go to? What group of people can I get around? Who are my people? The answer is Idea Network is your people. We are your group. And we're so excited that God has called you into ministry. And we want to hear your ideas and fresh perspectives at the Idea Network tables. And then there's the third kind. What's the third kind that we're looking at, Heather?
The third is women who are called and married into ministry.
Ah, yes. The type of people who are called to ministry and married into ministry. Teams. And these are the best of the best. At least that's my perspective, because it's you and me, Heather.
Yep, that's us. Now, sometimes, I'm going to be honest, you can feel a little bit out of place, even in this part. You'd think that we would never feel out of place,
right?
Because, hey, you want to be in ministry and you're married to ministry, so you've got it made. But even in this, you can feel awkward because you don't share the viewpoint sometimes of other people who, you know, don't feel that calling and they're married to ministry and you know, or who want to be. And so you can almost feel, Satan just goes after every group is what I'm saying. And it's shocking to me that there are times I felt awkward or like, oh, wow, am I the only one who feels this way? And that's not true either. Satan wants us to feel isolated and to really isolate ourselves even more from that.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting because we as Christians tend to do this to each other. We are so insecure about the position that God has placed us in. We sometimes feel the only way to security is by downgrading and speaking ill of those who don't have the exact same position, right? So if you are a woman that is simply called of God to, at this time, stay at home with your children, you might feel a little insecure if your primary ministry right now is just with your preschool children, your young children, you feel called to be at home, you just happen to be married to a pastor, you might see somebody deeply involved and excitedly leading in ministry and say, "What? Who does she think she is?" Sometimes you might be somebody who is fully engaged in the ministry and you see somebody who is not fully engaged in the ministry the way you are and say, that person just is married to a pastor. What's wrong with that person? And oftentimes those comparisons, when the Bible says it's unwise to compare yourselves among yourselves, this is what it's talking about, because in reality, your journey is not their journey. My journey is not your journey. And in reality, God may have called all of us individually, specifically to our own walk with God, and to validate the other instead of being insecure by what the other is able to accomplish.
You know, what you're talking about, I was just reading recently in the scripture about the woman who broke the alabaster box over Jesus. And you remember the disciples didn't understand it and they thought, what a waste. This precious thing that she had, that she gave to the Lord and she followed him, it was just looked down upon. And that didn't stop her from doing it, because all she cared about is what he thought. And I think that's interesting. Very often, this is what we women face, is no matter where we are, we've got this offering that we want to give to the Lord. We break it open for him, but not everybody's going to get it.
No, you're right. And for me, I think about some of the friends that we have, some of the women I know that are called of God along with their husbands, people like Thomas and Lysandra Asterkamp, who are clearly both deeply gifted ministers of God, and God's called them together. And look what they're doing. Look what they're doing together.
Mike and Alana Brown.
Mike and Alana, I was just about to say, both called of God, clearly, but called of God to each other. And Matt and Jenny Lohman.
Wow, it just keeps coming.
Matt and Jenny Lohman.
I'm telling you,
when you look at that couple in St. Louis and what they're doing, both would declare they could not do it without the other. Though without the other, if one was gone and the other continued, they'd continue to serve Jesus. But God has brought them together for such a time as this. To me, it reminds me in the Bible of what we see with Priscilla and Aquila, a team called to be married to one another and called to serve God together. And what a blessing they were for the broader church and the Apostle Paul specifically. So if you're a team like that and you're like, man, we're like Aquila and Priscilla, we're both called of God to ministry, we're passionate about Jesus, we love working together, we love fighting together, we love defeating the devil together.
Maybe you're a woman who actually wants to sit in on a session on assimilation.
Yeah, That is, yeah. Idea Network is the place yeah. for you. In fact, so many mm-hmm. of our roundtables are designed. And if you've ever been to a conference where you're like, okay, the women go over here and they're going to talk to you about how to make doilies. And you come to Idea event, you come to an Idea Day, an Idea Night, an Idea Summit. You're like, where are the women supposed to sit and talk about ladies ministry? The answer is we do have some sessions on ladies ministry, but we also have a session on of out of the box evangelism. We want you sitting there and talking. We have a session on best assimilation practices, corrective Bible teaching, theological understanding of expository teaching. We have all of these, and we want you to sit in and speak up in every single one of these sessions, because we believe that God has called you, your husband, but we also believe that God has called you. And we're excited to have you as a team at the Idea Network.
Can guarantee you're not going to have a session on doilies anytime soon.
It was just taken off the schedule just recently.
So ladies, we are looking forward to seeing you. I can't wait to see you there in Dallas to get to know all of you and to hear your story of how you're following Jesus.
That's right. We're going to have a great time. Register now at ideanetwork.church. And if you have any questions for Heather and I, feel free to reach out. Email us and let us know how we can help you.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.